Welcome to the Rethink ELA podcast, hosted by English language arts teacher Michelle Waters. Prepare to receive strategies, products, and expert advice tailored to help teachers build social awareness, student agency, and voice in their ELA classrooms.
Welcome to Rethink ELA podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Waters. I'm here today with the previous guest, Jennifer Williams. She's an ELA expert, Rethink ELA joint venture partner, and fellow graduate student. We're both super excited to share with you a project we've been working on for several months now that we know will help you teach your students how to incorporate both basic and advanced grammar concepts into their writing. But first, pull out your phone and text GRAMMAR to 444-999. For those of us who weren't the best spellers in school, and that's okay, that's GRAMMAR to 444-999, then follow the instructions we send you that will sign you up for our free email professional development series on grammar in context, Rethink the Writing Paradigm. Go do that now. While we're waiting for you, we'll play a short message and we'll be back in a minute.
When it comes to reaching students through literature, finding reliable resources is challenging. Your search is over. Rethink ELA Podcast is here to provide student-tested, research-based strategies, products, and advice. Here's your host, Michelle Waters.
I'm Michelle Waters with Rethink ELA Podcast, and I am here with Jennifer Williams, and we are both working on our Grammar in Context units. Those are 6th through 12th grade units, one for each grade level, in which we will help you teach grammar to your students, or actually with your students, in the context of their own writing.
Yes.
Yes, I'm very excited about this. In spite of everything we both have going on, we're both in grad school, we both teach full time, and we're putting this unit together. And we both have families, so it's been a little bit slow going. We are hoping, though, to have something available, or the sixth grade unit available, either shortly before or shortly after the winter break, so you can get started next semester with it.
Definitely, yes.
All right, so one of the things that I've noticed is that the traditional grammar pedagogies just don't work. I mean, handing kids a worksheet saying, here's the rule, you fill out or you correct these sentences on this worksheet, and okay, great, now you know how to use commas, go forth and use them in your writing, doesn't happen. I know for me as a student, I just had a natural understanding of the way things needed to sound. I wasn't perfect by any means in my usage of commas and semicolons and things, but I had a basic and innate understanding. And so writing seemed to be easy for me. I received good grades, but I also know that there's other kids out there that maybe grammar concepts weren't as easy to understand and who didn't receive good grades, but may have had important things to say. And I want to make sure that we are reaching all of our kids, not just the ones that are, you know, naturally what we consider to be good writers.
Yes, no, I totally agree. I've been working, oh gosh, this is my 14th year of teaching full time, and teaching writing was always something I struggled with. Teaching grammar was always a weak area for me because, I mean, when I look back at my high school career, I think things were just kind of dumped in our lap, and we were expected to, if we had issues, to go look things up ourselves. So I can't remember anyone actually teaching me these things. Sorry to all my high school teachers, but I really can't remember that. But when I got into college, my Comp 1 teacher, we wrote a paragraph, and each time, you know, we focused on a different aspect. She'd say, you know, this time go work on commas, this time go work on, and suddenly those things started making sense to me. And she didn't use it as a punitive thing. You know, she didn't give us a grade every time we did it. We were just asked to go and, you know, improve our communication. So yeah, it took me a long time to figure out what I was doing wrong and what I was doing right.
Absolutely. And for me, instead of thinking back to English class, because I remember in junior high, we did all kinds of workbook activities or work sheets or, you know, all those, you know, the 10 questions or not questions, but sentences in the textbook. And I don't really feel like that helped me. What really helped me was being on the newspaper staff, where we would write articles. And then one of our peers, one of the editors, would make suggestions, or we'd turn it in and our teacher would make suggestions or corrections, and then we'd go back and change it because we had to. It was going to go in the paper. Yes. So the idea was, we're going to start with, you know, what we're writing, and then we're going to do another draft of it, and then we're maybe even do yet another draft, and then it's going to be published and go in front of everybody. And I think that's the process that we need to use in our English classes.
Yeah, I agree. Instead of just your audience being a teacher, and instead of just complying for a grade or complying so that you can be done with it. Yeah, I think we've got to get back to an idea as teachers and with our students that writing is about communication. It's not, you know, me just trying to get you to write a 5-paragraph essay because somewhere at some point someone thought that that was the holy format. No, writing is about communication, and that's it, period.
Absolutely. And we have been talking before about the fact that the problem, I think that we are, the problems that we're seeing in our student writers are the result of us having divorced the purpose of writing from writing itself. You know, kids are writing for compliance, like you said. They're not writing to convey a message. They're not writing because they realize they have a voice and something important to say. And we need to build that back into our classes.
No, I agree. Yeah, I may be skipping ahead, but just, we've talked so much about this and too many times grammar. I think we talked recently, we don't even like the word rules anymore because that just seems so rigid. And it's hard to get kids to, you know, quote unquote, break those rules and tell them that they can when we spend so much time teaching them to just tick all the boxes and follow the rules. I think you and I talked about changing the word to skills, and we want kids to have skills. Yes. And we want them to have tools, and it needs to be put back in their hands. I'm not a copy editor. I am not the perfect audience. I'm not your only audience, and kids need to feel empowered so that when they use a dash, you know, it was because they wanted to use it for a particular reason, not because they were following a rule and I said that that was okay. I think too many times English teachers, we tend to get, well, sometimes we get a little snobby, and that's okay. Yeah. You know, we're supposed to be the experts, quote unquote. But I think we've started using grammar and mechanics as a weapon against our students. And we like, and you have a story I know that you can share about that. I have a couple too, but we won't wield this weapon against our kids. And we say, you didn't use that semicolon right. You didn't do this. You didn't do this. Okay. But what were they communicating? You know, did they need to use a fragment? Maybe the dash was the good thing to use. Maybe a period was good. And so we need to work with our kids. And as you said earlier, not against them. Yeah.
It seems to me, kind of jumping off of what you have just been saying, we as English teachers tend to use such a prescriptivist approach. You know, we are prescribing this particular rule and you have to use that. And we need to use more of a descriptivist approach with grammar, kind of like a linguist does. We need to be observers of grammar. You know, what is working in books that are being published today? What is working in newspapers and, you know, other sources of written communication? And why is it being used that way? For example, the sentence fragment. You know, I see in books all the time where sentence fragments are being used. And at first, you know, my little English teacher hat on, and it would drive me nuts until I realized, wow, this is actually working. It's giving the impact or making the impact that the writer intends. So maybe this is just a tool or a skill that this writer can use, as opposed to them just, you know, being wrong.
Yes.
And I think we need to change that mindset. Instead of, you know, I'm going to correct everything, I'm going to figure out how to help you convey the message that you want to convey. So if you want to use a sentence fragment, okay, let's see if that works. And if it does, knock yourself out, more power to you. And if it doesn't, and it may not work because of the context, you know, if you're writing a formal research paper, it may not work in that context. It may not work because it doesn't have the impact on the audience that is wanted. And so then you make corrections at that point. And speaking of corrections, that's something else we've talked about. Maybe we're not making corrections. Maybe we're making revisions or suggestions or yes. giving students action statements to help them make their writing better. Not correcting them.
No, I agree. Yeah, it's just, it's almost like we need to deconstruct what we've been doing and kind of come up with not a new vocabulary, but maybe repurpose some of the words we've been using so that it doesn't seem like it's us against them. And then we can work with students and say, okay, hey, you know the rules now. right? When would it be okay to break them? Like you said, with the fragments. I remember one of those first few years I was teaching, a student had used several fragments at the beginning of her research paper. And it just blew my mind because it was perfect and it was gorgeous and it grabbed my attention. And I thought, oh my gosh, here I have for years been telling students don't use a fragment, but here was the perfect use of it. And so, yeah, we just need to get with our students and help them see we do different things for different audiences. And your audience is not always me. Thank goodness for you. I don't want to be your only audience. But, you know, we change how we do things, whether we're using emojis or Bitmojis or Snapchat, or if we're talking to our grandparents or to our teachers or to our friends, we change our communication. Sometimes the curse word is the right word. Sometimes it's okay to break the rules. And, you know, if we want our students, instead of us bemoaning all the time, oh, communication is dying, oh, students don't know what they're doing, instead of doing that, let's teach them how to use these tools instead of us as teachers wielding weapons against them.
Absolutely. So we're handing them a box of tools and saying, okay, you know, you're wanting to convey this message or you're wanting to speak to this audience. Here are the tools. Which one do you think is going to work? Is the hammer going to work? Do you need the screwdriver? Do you need maybe several different tools? What do you need to use in order to convey the message that you are working on?
Yeah. And we don't need to, as teachers, pull that hammer out and whack them over the heads with it. That's not how you use tools.
You know? No, we should have learned that in kindergarten. So we have a lot of different types of students in our classes. We have those students who, you know, think they have nothing to say, who don't want to say anything, maybe have a hard time saying things. I think we see that, or we see the evidence or the symptoms of the problem of the fact that we have divorced the message from writing itself because of the questions that students ask. And instead of asking, how do I say this? Or should I use the semicolon here? Or should I use a period or a comma conjunction? Kids are so focused on the compliance, like you've said, of or how many sentences need to be in a paragraph or how many words need to be in this essay. Yeah. And I use an example with my kids. I say, okay, well, if you went into a bakery and you were planning to order a birthday cake for your very best friend in the whole wide world, and you went up to the baker and you said, I need a birthday cake. And the baker said, great. How many cups of sugar do you want me to put in that? You'd think he was nuts, right? It's like, I don't care about how much sugar goes in there. I want it to be chocolate flavored and I want it to have purple icing and I want it to say happy birthday to my best friend or whoever. And I want it to feed 11 people and then let the baker figure out how much sugar. You don't care. You just want to get the message conveyed that you want. And as writers, we should be the same way. We should be focusing on the message and the amount of sugar that we need, or commas or sentences or words will take care of themselves once we're focused on the message. And so if you've got kids asking you how many words or how many sentences, you know that they are not focusing on the important thing, which is what they're trying to say.
I did get my 8th graders trained one year. They were so funny. Somebody would say, how many sentences does this need to be? Because, you know, we had the 8th grade writing test and one of my students would invariably pop up, it needs to be long enough. And I was like, that was a perfect answer. Yes, it needs to be long enough. And you know what? They quit asking me. But it was so funny. I had to retrain the way that they thought. They were so used to counting sentences and counting words. And I said, I am too busy to count your words, guys. You need to communicate your message and then stop when you feel like you've said everything you need to say. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? You're going to have those kids who are going to write 1 5-word sentence and say, okay, I'm done. Yeah. But that's where you go. You look at what they have to say. And then you start asking them questions. You know, if they say they went to the store, all right, what store did you go to? How did you go? Did you walk? Did you run? Did you drive? What was your reason for going to the store? What happened when you were at the store? Why is this an important story? You start asking them questions to help them think and help them convey the message that they are working on.
Yeah, and eventually they'll start asking the questions themselves. But yeah, it's going to take a little bit of retraining on our parts and then retraining our students too. Yeah,
absolutely. And with that in mind, we really need to start out teaching grammar by having them write. The way I do that in my classes is we have a quick write every day. And so I give them a prompt and then they write to that prompt for 5 minutes. And then they share that prompt or share their response, that is, with their table groups. And the reason I have them do this is because I don't grade every single thing they write. I don't have time. I'm sure they don't want me to look at every single thing that they've written, but it also needs to be important and for the reason why they're writing, which is communicating with others. So they write and then they share with their table partners. They published immediately as soon as they're done writing. It gets them into that mindset of, hey, what I'm writing is going to be shared with somebody else. And so they're thinking about their audience. I've also in my room given them the opportunity to sit with people that they want to sit with. And so I think that kind of mitigates issues of, you know, I don't want these people to know anything about me. So they get to sit with people that they at least tolerate well. And so they share their writing with one another. And then later we will take one of those quick writes and, you know, turn it in. They have choices on which quick writes they use, and then they turn that into a longer piece. If you're struggling with that, you know, trying to figure out, okay, where do I come up with a writing prompt for 180 days of the school year, I've put together a unit that has more than 180 writing prompts, and they are divided into categories by mode of writing. So we have narratives and argumentative prompts and reflective prompts and a few other categories as well. And I know you have used them in your classes.
Several of them this year, and I appreciate you. I've had writing prompts for years, but they were feeling a little old and a little overused. And so, yeah, I appreciated you kind of giving me like a little kickstart. And the students have appreciated them. I've used some of them. The way I've had to structure my lessons has been different this year, but I've worked them into just some of the daily work, and the students have enjoyed them. I have received some excellent responses from kids, and hey, guess what? I didn't have to grade every single little thing, and they still wrote. And I think we need to stop attaching grading to our writing, and then kids don't feel like they're penalized, and they're more willing to take risks when they're not worried about, oh my gosh, if I screw up on this, is it going to completely tank my grade? No, it's not going to tank your grade. And, you know, you need to read and write every day and you'll get better. And eventually you're not even going to have to stress about that because your writing is going to be so much improved by the end of the year. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. We just need to have so many different conversations in English than we have been about retraining our roles as teachers and retraining our students.
Absolutely. And in order to do that, not only are we creating our grammar and context units, but we're also going to be in Stillwater for the Oklahoma Council of Teachers of English Conference. Jen and I are presenting together on this topic, and we'll take you through one of those lessons that we're building into the unit so that you can experience what it would look like in your classroom. That was October 13th, right?
Yes, October 13th. I think it's like 8 or 8:30 in the morning, but if you go to their website, it gives you all the details and you may already be able to see a schedule. But yeah, I'm super excited to work on this with you and to present. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And I know people think writing and grammar is fun. What?
It should be.
It can be. And eventually your students will think it is. But yeah, I'm kind of excited to do this.
Also, if you're wanting to get started right now, then we also have a free email professional development series that you can sign up for. You can do that by texting grammar. And for those of us who kind of struggled with spelling in school, it's G-R-A-M-M-A-R. Text that word to 444-999 and follow the instructions that are texted to you, and you'll be signed up for that email series. And we'll talk more in depth in that series about these kind of theoretical or mindset changes as English teachers that we can then, you know, start implementing now in our classrooms. Also, by signing up for that list, you'll be one of the first to know when we start releasing the grammar and context units. You may also have the opportunity to be a beta tester. Beta testers get to have a free copy of the unit in exchange for feedback, which can be, you know, these are some changes that I think you need to make to, wow, this is great, you know, can't wait for the rest of them, sort of comment.
Yeah, I can't wait to release these. I know you and I got some work done before grad school got started. I know we've been busy, but we can at least definitely get the sixth grade rolled out. And once we get that, I think it's just going to be so much quicker. And I will point out that these are aligned to our Oklahoma academic standards. And in the future, you and I have talked about aligning them to Common Core. But what's easy with ELA is, honestly, the Common Core and Oklahoma academic standards are pretty similar. And so it should be easy for teachers to be able to take this right now in Oklahoma, but even, you know, modify stuff and use it all around the country. And so I'm really excited about this project we've got going on. Again, I know grammar is exciting. What?
Yes. Well, apparently some other English teachers think so too, because we've had 175 people sign up for the email series already. And I started promoting it yesterday. So we've had a phenomenal response.
Yeah. And so I think it's important for us to have these conversations. I think it's important for us to talk about our pedagogy so that we're not just setting, you know, one type of standard for every single student. I think it's important that all of our kids realize they do have, I'm not giving you a voice. You have a voice. I'm just helping you learn to use it better. And I'm helping you, you know, figure out, I know we always use the semicolon because it's just a funny example, but I know, figure out where to put the semicolon, figure out when to break the rules. And that's an individual student basis. And
we just need a partner. We just need a partner with our students.
Yes, exactly. And yeah, we need to partner with them. We don't need to fight against them and have them fight against us. If we want better communicators, then we just need to model that. And we need to work with our kids on how to be better communicators. And you can't just throw a worksheet and say, okay, you've magically learned commas, go use them. We need to have students have a place to play, if you will.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And so that's kind of going back to the conversations we've had about changing our terminology. You know, instead of correcting, we're providing feedback and action statements. And instead of learning these rules or using these rules, we're playing with them. We're seeing what works and what doesn't. And, you know, like you said, what we thought didn't work might absolutely work in a specific context. So
yeah.
I'm excited. I can't wait. Go ahead and text grammar to 444-999, and we will let you know as soon as we have these units ready.
If you ever need anything, contact either me or Michelle. We are almost always in contact with each other.
Yes, we are. So you can contact us on Twitter. You can reply to those emails, and I get those, and I'll reply. And if it's, you know, if you have a question for Jennifer in particular, I'll make sure that she gets it. If you're already a Rethink ELA customer, there's the help desk that's available in the customer area. You're welcome to use that as well.
All right. Hey, thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Encourage your high school students to share their stories, discuss building a representative society, and develop their writing skills. With this set of 15 highly engaging lesson plans, you can mix and match to meet your students' needs. Download this unit at rethinkela.com/sjwp.